Welcome to Inshallah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. In order to understand anything, the importance of it, or that it's not important, it's waste of time, it's useless, or it's very, very important, it's very essential, the first and foremost thing, Yusuf, to what time? The first and foremost thing, in order to understand that, whether it is then any aspect of our deen also, whether it's education, darul ulooms, whether it's tabligh jamaat, whether it's khanqah, whatever it is, the person will only understand that if he first establishes in his mind and understands that what is my purpose in life. Unfortunately, very, very sadly, most of us, we haven't fixed in our mind what is the purpose and object of our lives. Even if we are dindar, we are making our five times namaz, we go in jamaat also, we go hajj umrah also, we go khanqah also, we do everything. But what is the object of my life? And to understand that is like we sit in the car and we don't know where we're going. We fill up petrol also, we check up tire pressure, we check up water ready in the radiator, everything we do. But we haven't fixed the destination. And so what is the purpose of our life? Why has Allah put us here? What is the object of life? That is the first thing a person has to establish in his mind. That what is the purpose and object? The purpose and object of life are basically two. One is to acquire the pleasure of Allah. That we have to keep in mind. My object in life is to please Allah. And the other object which we should keep in my life is that akhirat is my object. Dunya is not my object. Akhirat is my object. And these are realities. And to get the pleasure of Allah, first of all, we have to recognize Allah. Know who Allah Ta'ala is. And then we now work towards pleasing Allah Ta'ala. And akhirat is my object. That is what I have to work for. So that we have to first and foremost, if we have made Allah's pleasure, then now we will want to know how to please Allah Ta'ala. Then relevance, importance will be given to deeni education. If we got no object in our mind, our object we have got but is dunya, then naturally we're going to give dunya preference. Dunya's education, how we can earn more, how we can have better houses, how we can have better cars, that is going to be important to us if we have made dunya our object. And if we haven't made an object, then we will be just like sheep following the leader. Like everyone else in the world, non-Muslims are making dunya their object. So we will also make dunya our object. The vast majority of Muslims have made dunya their object. We will also just make our, we will be just like one sheep following the whole flock. We don't know where we're going, where our leader is taking us. So we have to first establish that it is, we have to find Allah Ta'ala. Marifat of Allah, recognize Allah Ta'ala. Then the love of Allah will come. And then you will seek the pleasure and that Allah must be pleased with you. The other is akhirat. That akhirat is our object. Dunya is not our object. Dunya is not our object. Akhirat is our object. If one we have done that, then the importance of the ilm that is going to help us in akhirat. Learning Quran Sharif, becoming a Hafiz, becoming an Alim, all that will be important to us. But if akhirat is not our object, if dunya is our object, then naturally, قَالَ الَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ. We will want all that. If dunya, and if dunya we haven't made an object, and we are just like the sheep in the flock, then also dunya, unconsciously, but dunya is our object. So in order to get that knowledge, to know Allah, to please Allah, knowledge of akhirat, there are various forms by which we can get knowledge. The first and foremost is the Hawasi Khamsa, our five senses. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touch, our five senses. So by that a person gets knowledge. Every, not only human, but even animals get knowledge by that. We feel something, it's hot, then we stay away from it, it's going to burn us. If something is very cold, our senses tell us. So it's, and Muslims, non-Muslims also, by senses, they acquire all their knowledge. Animals also. You show a dog a piece of meat, it will come to you. It sees it, it knows there's benefit. You show it a stick or a stone, it runs away from you. So by Hawasi Khamsa, the five senses, man acquires knowledge. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ All these five senses by which. But these five senses, which Muslims, non-Muslims, animals also have got, and they use that senses, and finally the brain is used. Animals' brains are small, so they don't go further. Allah gave man the biggest of brains, so what these things? He makes big, big things also man makes. But with that five senses, we can, and we should, it's for us, it's important with that five senses, we recognize there is a creator. And there is a controller of everything. But that will be very limited knowledge of Allah. At least that has to come into a person. He sees the system of the world. Inna fi ikhtilafi al-layli wa al-nahar wa al-fulki allati tajri wa all this wa al-sahabi al-musakhari bayna al-samai wa al-ard. All these things he sees. With his five senses he has to conclude. And it's for us, even if no Nabi's teachings came to him, that there is a creator. And he is the controller of everything. But more than that, you won't know Allah. That Allah Ta'ala is Qadir, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Shakur. All the qualities of Allah, you won't know. So with the five senses, and with the five senses, man has made all things in this dunya also for his comfort, etc. And even this dunya's things, man with his five senses couldn't know everything also. For example, basic arithmetic, mathematics, Allah Ta'ala taught it to Idris alayhi salatu wassalam. And then he taught it to mankind. The wheel was not invented. Allah taught to Idris alayhi salam the wheel. Today perhaps we never thought what is a great invention, the wheel. Without the wheel, nothing will work. No car will move, no aeroplane, and before our watches also, it's small, small wheels in them. They should function with that. And everything, engines of aeroplanes, they are all wheels inside that are turning. And the one spurtains the other one, the wheel, Allah had taught it to Adam, to Idris alayhi salatu wassalam. So even dunya's things, وَعَلَّمَ الْآدَمَ أَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا We taught Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, we gave him the knowledge. And the shariat of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam had very little to do with deen. It was only tawheed, la ilaha illallah. That's so much. Otherwise, Adam alayhi salam, when he was in Jannati, everything was ready found. Eating time, no house, Allah made palaces, mansions for him. Everything was ready found for him. He didn't have to do anything. When he came in this world, for one roti, he needed 360 items to make one roti. Today, maybe 360 billion things we need to make one roti. And today, all the machines we need, those machines need other machines, those machines need other machines to be made. So we don't know today how many things. But Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he was now very, very in distress, anxiety, to make one roti, and still how many other things he needs? He needs a house, he needs clothes, he needs food, not only a roti. And for one roti, 360 things. So it is a different little aspect, but Allah Ta'ala informed him and told him, oh Adam, you just take my name, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and all your work will become easy. If we can learn that lesson, that for everything we say Bismillah, Allah will make all our tasks easier. But what I'm trying to show is is that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, for one roti he needed, then he needed a house, he needed clothes, he needed food, he needed transport, everything he needed. So Allah Ta'ala taught it all to Adam. And it was on this knowledge which Allah gave Adam alayhi salatu wasalam that he became superior than the malaika also. And he made the malaika made sajda to him. And this was a sajda-e ta'zimi, not as ibadat, but of respect and honor, that what knowledge you have got. So Allah gave that knowledge of dunya. Allah made the five senses by which we acquire this knowledge, and a great amount of that knowledge Allah Ta'ala also. And we cannot deny that dunya's knowledge is necessary. We can't say it's not necessary. It's necessary. But the important thing here to understand, that necessity, darurat, is an Arabic word. We use it in Gujarati, Urdu also. So we many times think it's a Gujarati word or Urdu word, zarurat. But basically, it's an Arabic word. And it comes from the root word darar. Zarurat comes from darar. Darar, harm. In other words, if you don't do that zarurat, you will get zarar. You will be harmed. For example, we are sitting now. If myself, anyone else got the urge, necessity to go to the toilet, I even have to excuse myself. I'll have to go. If I don't go, my health will be harmed. My clothes, masjid will become napak. What a insult, what a humiliation it will be. You have to go. So zarurat, you have to do it. So dunya's things are zarurat. We have to do it. If we don't do it, we don't learn. Nobody learns how to grow food. What are we going to eat? Nobody makes clothes. How are we going to, what are we going to wear? Nobody makes cars, aeroplanes. How are we going to travel? So that's a zarurat. But the principle, rule of zarurat is, الزَّرُورَةُ يُقَدَّرُ بِقَدْرِ الزَّرُورَةِ. Zarurat is measured and is allowed to the extent of the necessity. The same example of the toilet we can take. It's necessary to go toilet. How long must you sit in the toilet? And that is also a ajeeb thing. The toilet, Maulana Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, toilet is that jail for which there is no bail. If you have to go to that jail, you'll get locked up, and you go voluntarily and you lock yourself up in the jail. And you can't give bail, that I pay so much, I won't go toilet. I can't humiliate myself and go in the jail. So I'll pay bail, I'll stay free. No, you have to go. And the toilet is that jail which you have to go. You can't put a locum also. You can't tell your wife, I'm very busy, I got no time, please, you go to toilet for me. You have to go, whoever you are. Can be the king, you can be who, you can be a Nabi of Allah, you can be a Wali of Allah, but toilet you will have to go. And then, how long are you going to stay? How long is your sentence to stay in the toilet? It depends. Sometimes you finish in a minute also. Sometimes 2 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes and you don't finish also. It just depends how your system works. And sometimes it keeps you for a long time. But you'll have, so that's a zarurat. And the measurement, how long, it depends according to the necessity of the time. Sometimes 2 minutes is enough. Sometimes 20 minutes are required. It depends. So just like that, dunya's knowledge is also a necessity. For everyone it is different. Darul Uloom Deoband, and this happens all the time in all the Darul Uloom institutions, people insist bring dunya's knowledge also into the Darul Uloom. Not only dini knowledge, you must have dunya's knowledge also. So Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was the principal. He said there are enough toilets for dunya's knowledge. I don't have to build more toilets. What he meant? That to satisfy the need of dunyawi ta'aleem, there is enough in the world. Governments are doing so much, NGOs are doing, everyone is worried of schools, night schools, day schools, this, the correspondence school, everyone is worried. He says, I don't have to do. We are doing our deeni knowledge, we will carry on with this. We don't need dunya's knowledge here. So it's a zarurat and it has to be fulfilled. And it is being fulfilled very adequately and more than sufficient, more than adequate it is being fulfilled. The toilet is not a place that a person goes and sleep away. Sometimes somebody takes so long, the wife also thinks you're finishing your sleep in the toilet, what are you doing? Some people got novels in their toilets, joke books in their toilets, and some countries' toilets are called restrooms. And some people take the literal meaning, it's not a place to go and rest, it's just for your zarurat. You finish your zarurat, you come out. So dunya's knowledge is also a zarurat. It's not that you go and indulge in it, like today, unfortunately, whether it is Karachi, whether it's Bombay, whether it's South Africa, everywhere, degree on degree. These youngsters don't know what to do. Finish one degree, do this degree, do that degree. And everyone's need is different. A person wants to become an alim, he also has to have dunya's knowledge. He'll have to fill in forms, etc. He needs a driver's license according to our times today. All those things, he will have to pass the test there. All that he'll need. But he doesn't need so much knowledge of maths and science. He's becoming a maulana. A girl who is becoming, the family wants her to be a homely girl. Family life she must lead. So she needs little knowledge, baking, sewing, cooking, grams, measurements, all that little bit she will need. But she doesn't have to have all the details of maths and science and biology and chemistry. She doesn't need all. Everyone's zarurat is different. And everyone has to see according to his zarurat. So if we understand this, and don't forget that our object is Allah's marifat, Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, and to please Allah. And akhirat is our object. And in view of that, this dunyawi is zarurat. Then a thing that had happened, and this dunya's knowledge always was given from the dini platform. Whether it was in Islam, whether it was in Christianity, in Judaism, Hinduism, all the dini people were giving the dunya's knowledge also. For example, Abu Ali Sina, who till today is the father of modern medicine, he was the one who laid the foundation. Ibn Haytham, who is the person who invented laser. Today with laser, what and what is not done? Somebody sitting in America operating somebody in China through laser. All this is being done. He was the founder of it. And how many other things? Paper. The first people in the world to make paper were Muslims. And there were no universities where they went and learned. There were no separate colleges where they went and learned this. And that time, even Darul Ulooms, they were not. It was in the masjid. The halqa should take place in the masjid. Dars should take place. And whose mind and heart Allah opened for that field, he went into that field. But it was all from the masjid. Knowledge of Christianity was given from the church. There weren't universities and colleges and that. Knowledge of Jews was given from the synagogues. Everyone, the Hindus, all. Then about 200-300 years ago, not long, 200-300 years ago, in Europe, they separated the two. Dunya's knowledge was Deen's knowledge. But Dunya's knowledge, they made it into two. One was Dunya's knowledge. And not into two, really, they hijacked Dunya's knowledge. And now they made it what is called secular knowledge. We say secular education, a secular state, secular government. What is secular? Secular equals atheism. Secular equals atheism. Secular is all that Allah doesn't feature in that equation at all. In Europe, they used to say that God is dead. We just have to bury him. And now they say we have buried God. God does not exist. That's why all the churches in Europe are empty. We know in UK how many Muslims bought out churches. In all the countries everywhere, because they got nothing to do with the churches. And God does not exist. He does nothing. About 25 years ago, roughly around about there, when Turkey was under the other government, more secular also, in one little town they built a dam. And on the opening of the dam, the mayor just said by the fazl of, he didn't still say Allah, they stopped him there and there. You don't speak one word further. Because he wanted to say, by the fazl of Allah, we made the dam. They say, no fazl of Allah, we made the dam. We are the creators, manufacturers, we made the dam. He apologized, they didn't accept his apology. They fired him there and then. This is what is secularism. That Allah Ta'ala does not exist. In Alhamdulillah, still in our Muslim aeroplanes, Saudi, Egypt Air or any others, you will still, they say, inshallah, we will reach this place by so and so time. But the other aeroplanes, you'll never hear. You're not allowed to take God's name. No, Allah's name, God's name, you're not allowed to take. That is what is called secularism. And this, all this education has become secular now, in which Allah does not feature at all. There is no need for religion. Allah does not exist according to them. So we have to understand this. It's a very important thing. All our children are doing secular education. All governments are secular. And they are, or the syllabus is also all secular. When they did this, they were faced with two very big problems. One is, when Allah doesn't exist, then where did man come from? All the time they also believed Allah is the creator of man, but now they took out Allah. Allah doesn't exist. Now how does man come? So they came with the most stupid, and this is what happens where Allah Ta'ala makes it, they came out with Darwin's theory of evolution. The simple answer to that, a very good answer, which our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave, that if they believe that one monkey became a human being, then in your Kruger National Park, Hazrat said, there are millions of monkeys. Why? In the history of the monkeys, till today, another monkey didn't become a human being. If you got four or five children, one becomes Hafiz, another one can also become, and they become, and their families, whole families are Hafiz, whole families are Maulanas, whole families are doctors, lawyers, one could become that, and they do. Why in the history of mankind, till today, didn't another monkey also, if one could become, then another could also become. But this all, their monkey business. And unfortunately, they are making monkeys out of us. And this Darwin theory of evolution was first taught at university level, then at school level, and now pre-primary. They are teaching the children according to their level. And we don't know what our children are learning. In that we can understand how important homeschooling is. That otherwise we're sending them, and today, in our town, right, this may be about 10, 15 years ago, they found out that in class 9, standard 7, the children were being taught Darwin's theory of evolution. Children, all Muslims, who teacher are Muslim. And when they approached the teacher, he said, it's in the syllabus, I have to teach it. And that is what we call in our Islamic schools it's being taught. Now, if kufr is being taught, what Islamic school? So it's very, very important that we be aware what our children are learning. So that was one problem they faced. Another big, big problem they faced, that how did the world come into existence? Before that, even a Christian, a Jew, Hindu, Muslim, we all believe Allah is the creator, He created. But now they took out Allah from the equation. Now how did the world? So they came up with the Big Bang Theory, which is another very stupid theory. But yet they are forcing it down the throats of people. People are accepting it. So we have to see that the secular education, we can't just take even for homeschooling any syllabus that is being given. And all this, they control it. You run an Islamic school, but they impose their things onto that school. Now, perhaps every Muslim school, Islamic school, takes a grant from the government. Government gives them a grant according to the number of students they've got. And they are not just giving it that grant for nothing. They impose conditions. All the Islamic schools, when they started, most of the time were forced for diniyat. But the government didn't allow it, made them change. And to this extent, once we were in Jamaat in India, all Arabs were with us, and one Lebanese, Salim was his name, he was from Australia, but the Lebanese. He said when he went to school, Muslim school in Lebanon, very long ago, so he said for 3 years, if I remember correctly, the Islamic subject was only half an hour a week. And that also the Ustad used to come, take out his glasses, specs, put it on the table, fold his arms and sleep. Half the class should be in the class making a noise, the other half of the class outside. He said, in 3 years, I didn't even learn Surah Fatiha. That place, one time, the Minister of Education of Egypt went to Pakistan. This came in Al-Balagh, Mufti Taqi Sahib, the Darul Ulum, the magazine. And he spoke to the ustads and students there. And he told them, 200 years ago, this is now about perhaps 15 years ago, so around about 200 years ago, as you people have got maktabs, you got your Darul Ulums, in Egypt was the same. We also had maktabs like this, we also had Darul Ulums. But then what the enemy did, they said if you introduce maths in your curriculum, in your syllabus, we will give you so much money. So the principal was happy, he didn't have to do much collection, money is coming ready found. The ustads were happy, our salary is going to increase. And with maths, no harm also, because we need maths for our calculations of imirat, inheritance, for many things we need calculations in our deen. So for the counting of the days of the month, for many things we need, so no harm. In 6 months they introduced science also. And he says in a matter of 2 years, that madrasa, which was purely dini education, now it had all secular subjects also. And in 5 years time, where Quran, that madrasa was for Quran Sharif, for deen, now Quran became an optional. If you want to, you can study Quran. If you don't want, you've got a choice. You don't have to study Quran. So he said we must be very, very careful. And that was worldly education. And now it's not worldly, it's secular. And today, as parents, we haven't got time to sit with our children. What they are learning, when it's too late, when the child has eloped with somebody else, once in the old days, when it was the old Transvaal and Natal and that, one girl was studying at university from a farm, right out in the farm they used to live. And so very like old-fashioned, conservative, and Dindar, pious family. On a holiday, she phoned home and she said, I intend bringing a friend with me. They said, no problem, bring your friend. And what, they didn't expect anything out of the ordinary. They thought another girl, a friend of hers, Muslim girl, will be coming. But when she came, it was a non-Muslim black boy. That was her friend. And when they were taken aback that, what is this? And she insisted that he will come and he'll sleep with me in my room. And if you people don't like it, and a conservative family, then I'll leave with him, but he can't leave just like that, alone on his own. This is the, and many, many other conditions like this which are coming. So when these things happen, then we realize I didn't give my children time. I did not grow them up. A child, it's not just that you give the child clothing, food, shelter, but growing up the child, especially the mother, must be with the child. You went to school just in a friendly, informal way. What happened today? What did the teacher say? What did your friend say? What happened today? Every day, this little bit, this discussion must take place on a daily basis with the children. What happened today? Where you went? The child went to masjid also. What happened on the way? When you came back, who you went with? What did your friend say? The influence of the friends, we know, is very, very great. Peer pressure is very great. So this is all very important. So the solution to all this is not government schools, it's not private schools, it's not Islamic schools. In our situation, the solution to it is homeschooling. Otherwise, we are heading for destruction. And yeah, we will perhaps see it, perhaps we won't see it. But if we did not prepare them for Akhirat, if they have been taught Darwin's theory of evolution, we never discuss it. We don't know about it. And they are being taught in the school. And that becomes the aqidah, the belief of the child. His iman is at stake. If his belief becomes the Big Bang theory, his iman is at stake. And his attitude becomes dunya is everything. And for only for dunya. And everyone by nature, nafs, wants dunya. Everyone wants a nice house, nice car, nice lifestyle, eating out, partying, going with friends, traveling, all these things. Everyone likes all that. So everyone will want to do that. And if we're not watching them, and their maqsad will become dunya. And that is we see what we call Muslim homes. There may be namaz also, but the object is dunya. And education of the children is also dunya, that we must get dunya. So there is no sabr. You make your child a alim, and okay, he might have some difficulty, he's not going to earn so much, he might not have all the enjoyments and pleasure, but his niyat is akhirat, he's going to be successful. And if his niyat is dunya, what is going to happen? Dunya will pass, whatever it is, whether you use a clean toilet or you use a dirty toilet, but your need will be fulfilled. You use a toilet that is all tiled and which looks so glitter and glamour in the toilet nowadays, with artificial flowers and all that also. All that toilet, you'll fulfill your need. And you use a toilet, in previous days you go out in a felt. There also you relieve yourself. So dunya's life will pass, but the object is akhirah. So for that we can understand how important this homeschooling is. And this is the only solution. And this is no phenomena of South Africa or here, this homeschooling. It is in the whole world today. And America is very advanced in homeschooling. Lot of people are homeschooling their children. And the results are fantastic, unbelievable. Children at the age of 14 and 15 finish their bachelor's degree, finish their master's degree at that age already. Together with that at home, they learned all homework also. Not doing homework, but housework. They did that also. They did farming also. They did all that. They learned woodwork also. They learned plumbing also. To run the house, they were their own handymen also. And they could do all those things. Today we can't hit one nail straight. And you want to saw a piece of wood, how crooked you saw it. We can't do that also. What all that, and they got the degrees, master's degrees at the age of 14 and 15, 16 already. So Allah has put lot of potential. And in the government schooling, etc., all their schooling, all extramural things, unnecessary ballet dancing, singing, excursions, what and what, a total waste of time. So this homeschooling is really the solution, and it must be completely the ethos and Islamic ethos. And especially those who are in charge, they must watch the syllabus very carefully. What are the teachers being given to teach? What is being taught? What is the temperament of each ustad? What's his mizaj? If his mizaj is of dunya, you're not going to, you're going to go in the wrong direction. The ustad, the apas, the ustads, their mizaj must be old. They must be convinced that we are in this dunya to recognize our Creator. We are in this dunya to prepare for our akhirat. And Allah, how much you have recognized Allah? وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ قَدَرِهِ. We haven't recognized Allah Ta'ala that He is the giver of ruzi. He will give us. It's not that Allah is going to give us in extravagance. We feel extravagance is our ruzi. We must have an abundance of things. One girl, looks like she was an anima, she wrote that it's holidays now, the holidays that have passed, and I'm doing some holiday job. So I wrote, what you need for the holiday job? You are becoming hafiz, pay more attention to your hafiz. So she said, to earn, to buy things what I don't need. What you don't need, I'm earning more money to buy things which I don't need. So we know we don't need these extra things. But that today, shopping, very long ago, one old man and his four or five daughters went for Umrah. And they bought, without exaggeration, they bought so much goods, the bags were from the floor to the ceiling. one old man, bichara, he was the mahram for all the, and now what you need, don't you get here, what you get there. Eh? So dunya becomes the object. If we are not careful, and if the mizaj of the ustad, even in homeschooling, the muallima, the muallim, if dunya is the mizaj, that's going to go into the children. So this is our real solution, the homeschooling. And with it also, there is a lot of that we must be watching. And the parents, remember also, the parents are responsible for the tarbiyat and for the education. It's the parents' duty. They will be asked. Allah won't call the ustad and the muallim. Allah will ask the parent. This is a aid. Any schooling system, whichever schooling system, homeschooling, whatever it is, this is an aid to help us to educate the child. But it's not a complete replacement. It's just a help. It's an aid. It's still the parents' duty that they must keep an eye. And the parents' niyat also is not akhirat. The parents' niyat is also, the mother also, she wants her car, she must have the car key, she must have a cell phone, have her sunglasses, cell phone by the ear, bag, handbag dangling on her shoulders, jumping into her car, going to the shopping malls, etc. That lifestyle, where has she got time for her children? The father, whole day before the child wakes up, he's gone to shop. Whole day he's there. When he comes, he's tired. He doesn't want to be disturbed. He doesn't want to, no problems must be brought to him. Hey, we got no time for, we made dunya our object to earn the whole day. Hey, this other thing, school must sort it out. Madrasa must sort it out. It's children are, Maulana Muhammad Khalwaya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a great buzur. About 30, 40 years ago he was. One place he said, parents feel our duty is only to make children. After that, leaving to the Maulisab. Maulisab must make him a Muslim. And the school must give him dunya. We got no responsibility after that. We must just only open baby factory and make babies. That's all our job. After that, to look after our product is not our job. And really think with our children, when do we really sit with them? When there are problems, now we expect automatic, like in the aeroplane, they announce if there's shortage of oxygen, masks will fall. So we feel all the solutions will just fall like that. Nothing is going to just fall like that. We have to work on it all the time. And usually people who write also for their problems, and when they write for their problems, I tell them that you should keep contact all the time. Then this problem shouldn't even have come. You only write, and then they say, make maaf, we are writing after so long, but I got this problem. So we're waiting for the problems to come. If we keep that regular contact with the sheikh also, with the students also, with our children in the class, our children also, regularly, inshallah, no problem will come. But if we don't have the time for our children, our object also is business. The mother's object, one girl who became a hafiza by Appa, she actually became, or she was hamraing her door. After many years, she came and visit again. So in that discussion, she said that a friend of hers came to visit her and told her, you don't keep a maid, a helper in the house. She said, no, I do all my housework myself. I can manage comfortably. She said, no, you must keep a helper. You must keep a maid. She said, then what will I do? She said, you must watch TV. Let the worker work, do all the housework, and you must watch TV. So how topsy-turvy our thinking has gone. And to do housework for a woman is the sunnah of Sayyidatuna Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the best exercise for a woman is not jogging on the roads. It's not jumping, going to the gym. The best exercise for a woman is to do her housework. Once we were at Ijtima in Port Elizabeth, and Maulana, who was the Sheikh al-Hadith in Darul Zakaria, Mu'inuddin, Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, has passed away now, he's from Muradabad. He mentioned there that when he was a small boy, he saw that his grandmother used to wake up all the house ladies early in the morning and first thing put them on to housework. So he used to become angry on his grandmother that when they're getting up so early, let them make tahajjud. That is more important. But he said, after very long, I read in a kitab of Metzen Tib that the best thing for a woman when she wakes up in the morning to do housework. Sweeping. Today, literally, without exaggeration, our girls don't know how to hold the broom also. Hey, one girl was going to get married, so she went to the auntie to get now trained up. She, auntie told her, boil the egg. She boiled water and she opened the egg in the water. Huh? Boiling her egg. Basic things. There's no exaggeration. They don't know. And even if they are becoming alimas, the first thing even for an alima is housework. Her khidmat of her husband is the first thing. Khidmat of her children to look after the house. But today alimas also early in the morning, many jobs they got. Teaching here, teaching there, teaching there. That's not basically the work. There is Maulana Shabbir Madani in Bangalore. He's very good. Farhat Appa, who came here, some of us might be knowing, she had established this madrasa, he's running it there. So he says that the girls who have graduated, they come and teach there, free of charge. And they're only allowed 1 hour a day to teach. Their work is housework. They must look after their children. They must bring up their children. They must see to their husband. That's their work. And 1 hour a day, they only allowed to come and teach, not more. And they teach free of charge. And they got that mizaj. So this is, we have to understand the role of a person. And today, as parents, which we cannot overemphasize, the role to the children are important. Have time for your children. Today we haven't got time. And even if we, whatever little there's a problem, we'll just shout, swear, and we think the problem is going to get solved. It never works like that. But this eyes of mine, I saw that house where there was a great Mufti Saab who controlled with the iron fist. But the minute he was out of the house, that very house became a dance hall. Music used to, he, the wife, the daughters, they all used to invite other men and the music used to play. You can never rule by the iron fist. You have to rule with love, muhabbat and kindness. And that ruling of love and kindness comes when you give. The first thing is you have to give time. So this is very, very important. So here also, the administrators of the homeschooling, the educators, where this is the only solution, the best that we can give. Dunya's knowledge is necessary. And how to give it is also necessary to learn. So they also have to play their role. Parents have got a very important part also to role. And then there is another aspect also, that and the best homeschooling, the mother herself does it. But where she cannot, she haven't got control over the children, will play fools with her. The mother children relationship is different. And then you have what we call our homeschooling, a formal type of, that was informal in the house. And there is nothing better than that. There is a family that is now still there in Muzaffarnagar, Sayyid family. This instance I'm referring to maybe about 10 years ago or so. The mother, father are Hafiz. All 6 children are also Hafiz. And at the end, the 6-year-old, the mother was making him Hafiz. She should give him sabak lesson, he should learn in the Quran. And his brother, 4-year-old, should be playing around. But the 4-year-old should come hambrawa the sabak, the same sabak before the 6-year-old. And so the 6-year-old complained to the mother that I have to sit formally with my Quran, I have to learn, etc. And he doesn't sit, he's just playing around. And he comes in Hambrawa Sabbath before me. So that is that informal, it picks up. That same mother, one of her children, when he started speaking, he knew Amma Supara of Bahar. The mother used to read so much Amma Supara when he was first year, second year, whenever he started speaking, already he knew Amma Supara. And this is nothing difficult to understand. The child in which environment it grows up is going to be like that. For example, an Arab child doesn't have to learn Arabic. It's listening to Arabic all the time in the house. When it speaks correct Arabic already. A child that grows up where the parents are speaking English, you don't have to teach the child English. And the same way, Gujarati, Urdu, any, whatever. So if Quran was the language in the house, the child is going to speak Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif going to be on the child's tongue. So the administrators also, The parents also, the teachers also, very important. And then one thing is that many of us, we feel, are just making it an excuse that, yeah, they have a very small, they are not exposed to society. Even if you do in formal teaching at home, you don't allow the children to mix with other people. That also many parents feel that they're not going to open up. They're going to too much closure on them. And that closure is necessary. To protect the child is necessary. And the outside things to learn, you don't have to worry about that. For example, perhaps all of us sitting here, how much we know about cell phones, and ask your 10-year-old. And what we can't do, we don't know. He'll do it for you in a jiffy. You don't know what he's pressing and what he's doing, and there your work is done. Who taught that? And this our Sheikh one time in Mauritius explained this very beautifully. It was a thing that I was very, very confused about. That how come children know all these things? We're driving on the car, another car coming from far, they tell you he's a chef, there is a Ford, he's a Toyota, and a model, and everything they know. We, for us, a car is a car. But for them, every detail, how they know all this? So Hazrat explained that all children are born from the parents, and in the parents, the food they eat becomes blood. That blood becomes semen. So that food they ate, which is now the food which is in the world now, and the sun is shining on it, the moon is shining on it, the winds, etc., and the environment of the world also is on there. And for this reason, I'll just digress a little bit. Once we were in Raiwin, and Ba Abdul Wahab Saab, Ahmed Barakatum, said, in the days of the past, if any sheikh wanted to reduce the zikr of his murid, for whatever reason, pride is coming in him, he's too weak, he can't maintain so much zikr, but he wants to carry on, he loves zikr, but it has to be reduced. All they used to do is let him eat bazaar food, food which is from the shops, where everyone's eyes fall on that food. Maulana Muhammad Saliji of Phoenix, once he heard this from me, so when he came back, he told me they went to Pakistan for Jamaat 40 days, and one Sati in the Jamaat was very, very emotional, crying all the time, and heavy sobbing, crying 24 hours, namaz, out of namaz, talim, all the time. They thought he's going to die. They were worried so much he was crying. When they went to one village, the elders there told, it's not a serious problem. Solution is very easy. Take him to the shops in the marketplace, bazaar, and to a tea shop there. And if you get a tea shop where music is playing, take him to that shop. And let him drink a cup of tea there. He went, they took him. Abad. After that, his whole kafiyat changed. No more crying, no more all that. So what is this? And what the environment is, it's in that food. And today's environment is all radiation of the cell phones all the time, radiation of microwave ovens, everything radiation, radiation. So it is in that food. And the children are born of that semen. And they are eating that food. We ate the food of 50 years ago. Our parents, we were born 50 years ago, 40 years ago. So that's why we can't catch up like this. They can catch up like this because it's all in the air all this time. So therefore, it's very, very important that we, as much as we can, the harm which has come in that already is there already. Now we may, don't let them, we have to let them mix with others, with other, even cousins today put what ideas in the children. The friends also, the best friend of a child is the parents. But today children want to keep away from their parents. There was a time when children should jump and hop, small children, on the dada, on the nana. Today they don't like to be with dada and nana. Dada and nana try and entice them with sweets or nani or daddy or with this. They're not interested. They got their own friends and their games. They want. Small children also, their chasing games are more important. These games are more important. They got no time for dada and daddy. So in this environment, we have to see the people who prepare the syllabus, don't just accept any syllabus. Even in the homeschooling, go through it. Make sure what is being taught. And then monitor also. The ustad, screen them also. Have they got love of dunya? Try your best in a bad situation, the best you can get. That how much of love of dunya, etc. they have got. And then monitor what they are teaching. The children also. As the smaller the class, the better. The less they associate, the, don't worry that they won't open up. What we want them to open up? For dunya? They must open up for deen. And in deen it has come, the less you mix, the less you speak, that is better for a person. So don't, that is also outside, alien, empty ideas that they must mix, etc. And then relationship of parents with their children, very, very important also. So inshallah, may Allah make this school, this madrasa, the basis, and let it spread in the whole country. And let every Muslim realize that the solution for our children, we need little dunya's education according to everyone's necessity, but it must be according to our system. We mustn't present it on the system of the other people. We must present it on our system. There are things that we can't change also. For example, we teach them English, and English you start from the left side. You don't read from the right side, from the left, A, B, C. And we teach them dunya's things, A for apple, B for bat, C for cat, D for dog. So we are teaching them dunya all the time. If we can change that also, A for Allah, etc., everything, we will be bringing more Islamic things. And then we read also from the left side. So a person who does his matric for 12 years plus, he's reading from the left side. How is he going to come right? And then you are reading your books also all from the left side. Nothing, no book is written from the right side. So 12 years you're studying everything from the left. How are you going to come right? If you learn deen, alif, you start from the right side. Alif, ba, ta, fa. From the right side you learn. Alif, say Allah. All you learn from the right. And all the book, kitabs you read, Quran Sharif, all from the right. Automatically you're going to be right. So we are doing everything wrong and we want it to be right. And we are living in that environment. In South Africa, many countries, on which side of the road must we drive? Left. And if you're driving on the right, on the left side, are you driving on the right or wrong side? So the left is the right. And if you happen to drive on the right side, then are you driving on the right side or the wrong side? So here, where the left is right and the right is wrong. And from the childhood, you're learning from the left how things are going to come right. So in such a bad environment, the best we can do, but if we are conscious. Otherwise, and our greatest asset is not our bank balance, not how many properties we got. We are fooled if we are thinking your children are your greatest asset. And your children, your money is not going to carry your name in the world. Your children are going to carry your name. That money and all that, one friend just told us yesterday, a person passed away, 80 million his estate. 30 million already gone to the lawyers. And they're still fighting like cats and dogs. And these people won't sit quiet till that they finish the last cent. And still you owing them even after that. They won't leave you. So that's not your asset. If Bana Abrar Laksab gave this beautiful example, if your money gets stolen, 20 million, 10 million, whatever amount, and you get it back after 2 months, you'll still pack it again nicely, count it, perhaps you'll iron it also, take out all the creases, perhaps you'll put some attar on it also, and you'll be very happy, you pack it back in your safe again. But if your wife has to be missing for one night, or your daughter for one night, and you get her back again after 6 hours, you don't know whether I must hold her, embrace her, what must I do, what she went through. Your real asset is your wife, your children. Money, business is not your asset. We have been fooled. We made that our God today. Dunya is our God. We got time for dunya. And anything we can sacrifice for dunya, and for our deen, and for our akhirat, we have got no time. So our children, our greatest asset, and what they are being taught, that is very, very important. What is going in them? And knowledge and education. education makes the thinking the ideology of a person. We call it aqidah. Your aqidah must be correct. According to the knowledge you get, your aqidah is being made. And that is very, very important. May Allah Ta'ala guide us and realize this importance and work towards this, improve here and spread it also. There are two very important things. Once in a mashura of our elders, there was very heavy debate on it. Kehrao ziyara aham hai ya phailao? Must there be deepness or must there be spreading? After all the discussion, final decision, Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali made, both are important. Get depth also and spread the work also. Some people are going to just spread the work, no matter if people are got qualities or not. And some feel qualities are most important, whether the work spreads or not. So Hazrat explained, both are important. So yeah, also depth in the matter and spread it also. Let more people become aware and conscious of this important thing. May Allah give us all benefit. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم إنا نسألك حلما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا حلالا طيبا واسعا اللهم اشفعنا من كل داء اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.